This is Judith Lay welcoming you to Manx Radio and to the podcast of this week's edition of At Your Service. Manx Radio. On Thursday afternoon, white smoke rose over the Sistine Chapel and Cardinal Robert Prevost became the first American-born pope and will now be known as Leo XIV. And closer to home, the life and work of Archibald Knox is the theme for this year's Praying the Keels Week. There are topics for today's programme after some music with a strong connection to the conversation I'll be having shortly with Phil Crane.
I arise today through the strength of heaven, light of sun, radiance of moon, splendor of fire, speed of lightning, swiftness of wind, depth of the sea, stability of earth, firmness of rock. I arise today through God's strength to pilot me, God's eye to look before me, God's wisdom to guide me, God's way to lie before me, God's shield to protect me.
That's the Deer's Cry, or St. Patrick's Breastplate. According to Irish tradition, St. Patrick and his companions were one day being chased by hostile soldiers. But when the army got closer, miraculously, the soldiers saw nothing more than a herd of deer making its way peacefully through the woodland. And that was how St. Patrick and his companions escaped unharmed. It's believed that St. Patrick later turned his forest ordeal into a prayer of protection, or lorica, which became known as the Deer's Cry. And the Deer's Cry was the inspiration for a wonderful work of art created by Archibald Knox. And finding out more about it is just one event during this year's Praying the Keels Week, which starts next Saturday, May the 17th. Keels are Christian chapels, wayside shrines and places of retreat built around our island between the 8th and 12th centuries. Most of them are little more than ruins now, but are often found in very beautiful countryside and are considered to be thin places where we can more easily feel the presence of God. Praying the Keels Week, now in its 20th year, offers a programme of opportunities to explore, walk, rest and reflect, as one of the organisers, Phil Crane, now explains. Incidentally, Phil and I were sitting in a sunlit patch of greenery in a hidden corner of Douglas as we recorded this conversation. And although we were surrounded by the noise of everyday life in the city, it was still perfectly possible to hear the birdsong. I hope you hear it too.
Yeah, indeed, this is our 20th year, and credit should go to Bishop Graham Knowles, who was our bishop in 2006. And he said, look, you've got these wonderful ancient chapels here called Keels, and let's do something to use them, to visit them, to pray in them, to be silent in them, to, in a sense, reclaim them. And so under his initiative, you know, it takes a come over to do these things sometimes, we gathered together a small group. And so far, with God's grace, it has stood the test of time, and here we are today. And I think it can appeal to people of all churchmanships, but people who are maybe from outside the church, who've been let down by the church, who might sort of think, okay, this sounds interesting. It's a gentle way in to explore again.
And these remains of these wayside shrines, these little chapels, are in some very beautiful places, and some of them are on private land, and the committee negotiates access just for this week. So it is an opportunity to see quite special things.
Yeah, it's run by a small team, ecumenical, from different traditions. I think for everybody, it's really just a chance to meet other people, to relax in the Manx countryside and maybe put our worries to one side, and to get out in the glory of creation, especially this time of year. One thing we do on one or two Keels walks is just walking a mile or so in silence, you know, and that heightens our awareness of creation all around.
The theme for this year's Praying the Keels Week is Archibald Knox, Humble Servant of God in the Ministry of the Beautiful, and all the events have some link with the artist.
He had a very interesting spirituality himself. You know, he came from a Scottish Presbyterian background, and yet we find him worshipping at St. Matthew's, the Anglo-Catholic tradition. So what was his influences, his formation of spiritual matters while he was here? And we've got a lecture by Yvonne Cresswell, who's been at Manx National Heritage till she retired, and she's going to try to tease out some of Knox's faith and spirituality in that talk. So we look forward to that. But also in his artwork, Knox, I think, was a deeply spiritual man. One of the labours of love that he didn't do for liberties or for any commercial gain was his Cry of the Deer, also known as St. Patrick's Breastplate. Christ on my left, Christ on my right, Christ above me, Christ below me. People might be familiar with the words. He took those words and applied his wonderful artistic and calligraphic skills in doing over a decade this wonderful book with a page for each of the phrases of the Cry of the Deer. It's wonderful. That was the labour of love. He did it to give glory to God, I would say. But also in his work as a designer of stone, we see the Celtic knotwork. So he's very much drawing on Celtic inspiration in his work too.
Praying the Keels Week starts next Saturday, the 17th, and runs through to the following weekend, to the 24th. So what are the kind of things that people can enjoy?
So we have on the opening Saturday, the 17th, and the closing Saturday, 24th, a beefy walk, maybe 6 or 7 miles. In between, we've got walks of shorter duration. Hopefully there's something for everyone. As I mentioned, we've got the longer walks on the Saturdays, the Nicola Dixon Celtic Art Workshop on Sunday afternoon at Port Erin Methodist Church. We've got that walk around Onchan at 10:30 on Monday morning. We've got on the Monday evening that talk by Yvonne Cresswell at St. Anthony's Pastoral Centre, the Catholic Centre in Onchan. Tuesday, a lovely evening walk around St John's with the music by the Manx group Cajun Cooja. So that would be a special treat, just a 3 mile walk there around the village. Wednesday is the coach trip, and Thursday a walk around lunchtime, starting at the cathedral, looking at Knox's beautiful pewter and silverware in their treasury, but also looking at Knox's calligraphy in the 20th century garden. You know, Knox was a censor at Nocalo prison camp, so looking in the garden where an example of his calligraphy has been made up into a sculpture which has become Cathedral Isle of Man's logo. And then Thursday evening, this armchair pilgrimage at Tai De Vay. Friday is an evening meeting at Mackled, where we will look at an ancient pilgrimage route which has just been unearthed by Heritage Mackled, which is an exciting development, and hopefully watching the sunset from Mackled Head. And that seems counterintuitive because it's in the east. I believe you can do it. You see the sunset go down over the Northern Plain if you turn around. And then our final event on the 24th, Saturday, is a walk from Old St. Runius Church in Maroun, where there's a Knox tabletop grave, which is very special, and walking around the outside of Archaligan Plantation and Cornelly Mine and back along the Heritage Trail. So that would be a long all-day walk. I should add that for the coach trip on Wednesday evening from the promenade, booking is essential, and that will be going down south and looking at Knox memorabilia down there. Supper at the Abbey Church Hall in Ballasalla, that costs £23. Booking is essential for that. Also, booking is essential for Nicola Dixon's art workshop. That's £5, simply because numbers are limited for that.
A very varied, a rich and varied programme. And you said that sometimes the walks involve some time of silence, but sometimes somebody will add a little reflection.
These are not walks to race. We'll be walking at the pace of the slowest. And that gives us time to reflect, as I mentioned, to be open our senses to creation all around, but also to pause in one or two places for a poem or a prayer or reflection or indeed silence. And one I've brought along to share with you today, Jude, is where we hope to visit on the Friday evening. And it's a poem by Kathleen Farragher. She was a Manx lady brought up here. She worked in London, but came back to the island. And I think in her 40s and 50s, wrote a lot of beautiful poetry. It's a lovely one she wrote entitled St. Mackle's Well. Oh, the cliff top is a garden round St. Mackle's ancient well. When the heather frames the hillock and the sunshine casts a spell on the gorse bloom and the harebells as the gentle breezes play and whisper all the secrets of some bygone happy day. Far below, where seagulls argue and the dark shags dive and swim, a blue tide woos the stern cliffs with soft music like a hymn. And the veil of time is lifted in that quiet, mystic place where St. Mackled prayed and pondered on the erring human race. He must have viewed those bracken steeps, the wide arc of the bay, the sandy slopes of Point of Ayr, and Scotland far away, and watched the mists come stealing down to blot the coast from sight, and heard the storm's grim echo round Barul's majestic height. And all those things we see today, as Mackled saw them then, unchanged amid life's changing scenes and ruthlessness of men, and from that pathway on the cliffs where saintly feet have trod, the sacred well looks upward still to kiss the face of God.
Thank you.
Thank you, Phil Crane, talking there about Praying the Keels Week that starts next Saturday, the 17th. The programme of events is available in all our churches and can also be found on their website, prayingthekeels.org, and Keels is spelt K-E-E-I-L-L-S. The armchair pilgrimage should be booked direct with our retreat house, Tide of A in Peel, and the phone number is 609-299. But for Nicola Dixon's art workshop and the evening coach tour, you can book through Church's Bookshop, which is inside St Thomas's Church near the Gaiety Theatre here in Douglas. And now, let's welcome someone who in recent weeks has become a regular guest on this programme. Canon Philip Gillespie is currently living and working in Rome as rector of the Beda College, training men from around the world who are to be ordained as Roman Catholic priests. This puts Canon Philip at the very heart of life within the Vatican, and I've really appreciated his thoughts after he attended the funeral of Pope Francis and then again last Sunday as he witnessed the preparations for the conclave, the gathering of cardinals from around the world tasked with electing the next pope. And so, once more, we say good morning and welcome, Canon Philip.
Good morning and greetings once again from Rome. After a slightly shorter conclave than some were expecting, the white smoke has been seen, and the announcement, Habemus Papam, we have a pope, has been made. And so, what now? Well, for many of the 24/7 news channels, the cameras and the reporters may well drift away or immediately transfer to the next must-have bit of information or news or gossip. They may be back next Sunday when the Pope will preside at Mass in St Peter's Square for the first time at the inauguration of his Petrine ministry. But the what now of life in the Vatican will be the getting to grips with matters which have perhaps been on hold for the last 3 weeks. People getting their roles and their jobs confirmed or renewed. And a man who has not been used to making certain decisions, having to make certain decisions. Where does he live in the long term? Will he be a great man for travelling, or is he more of a home bird? How does he get to know new people? And of course, as with all new jobs, people working out what the new boss is really like. A hint will have been given by the choosing of his name, Leo. People will have pored through the history books. Who was the man who took this name last? What was he like? Was he left wing or right wing or middle of the road? In fact, Leo the 13th was a man who made great emphasis on the social and family doctrine of the church. He engaged the modernity of his day in a creative way, being both affirming and challenging. What will be this man's style? The questions are endless, and they will take several weeks and months and years to become clear. It's all quite exciting. I'm reminded of a new archbishop who once said, "All I can promise you is that this will be different. Not necessarily better, not necessarily worse, but different." Every one of us is unique, so don't be surprised if this new pope is unique. Not a carbon copy of anyone who has gone before him. After all, in Catholic understanding, he is successor of the Apostle Peter, not successor to Francis or Benedict or John Paul. And of course, this has to be the case, because it is a new face on the balcony, a new man at the Vatican. And he will bring with him all those skills and talents which make him the man who, through the action of the Holy Spirit and the discernment and wisdom of the cardinals, has been elected, chosen as Bishop of Rome and Pope of the Universal Church. He will have hefty problems to face, daily challenges and events to navigate. And in all of this, we pray for his peace and his care. which is based always upon the peace and care which is that of a good shepherd. We hope and pray for Pope Leo XIV, that he will be an inspiration, yes, but also at times a challenge, as he invites us to be even more faithful, missionary disciples of the Lord. Because ultimately that is what it's all about, being the one who listens, the one who is taught, the one who is a faithful follower of the way of Christ, the one who has at heart what Pope Francis called Evangelii Gaudium, the joy of the gospel. Chimneys and conclaves, ballots and odes of secrecy are all well and good, but they are not ends in themselves. They are means to a much more long-lasting and significant purpose. The proclamation of the wisdom of the gospel, which touches and affects every aspect of our human living and brings us a life which is eternal.
Thank you, Canon Philip Gillespie, talking to us from Rome. It's also my pleasure to welcome, on the phone from Liverpool, Bishop Tom Nalan. He's the auxiliary bishop in the Catholic Archdiocese of Liverpool, of which the Isle of Man forms a part. And later this month, we'll welcome a new archbishop, a successor to Archbishop Malcolm McMahon, who's retiring. So, new pope, new archbishop, within weeks of each other. I wonder, Bishop Tom, is this time of change something that could be refreshing for us all?
I think it is, really, because I suppose locally and internationally as well, there's a bit of a reset. I suppose it gives all of us, whoever we are as members of the church, maybe to take stock of where we are. And going forward, obviously, we've got a new pope. So it'll be interesting to see in the early days and weeks of his pontificate what kind of signals he's sending out to the church and to the world. The little that we do know about him, he seems to be first and foremost a listener to people. He's had experience worldwide because of the roles he's had as a general for the Augustinian order throughout the world. So he has a feel, I think, for the church worldwide through his contact with his confreres in the Augustinian order, but also he spent a significant part of his life in South America, in Peru, where some of our priests have done over the years with the Liverpool Archdiocesan Missionary Project. So he's got, you know, lots of connections with his family and the country of America, but also other parts of the world as well. He's 69, so he's got some years ahead of him if he's blessed with good health. And I suppose, given, you know, his life as a priest and then as a bishop and as a general in the order, he needs a certain amount of stamina to manage all the demands on him spiritually and physically as well. There is certainly a peace about him. He looked at home when he stepped out onto the balcony. Well, I think once in a while, I think he looked like he was going to get overwhelmed. I mean, for any of us to be in that position he was in must be a mixture of emotion, really. And I suppose maybe he himself was thinking of, you know, where he'd come from. The previous pope that bore the name Leo, he had a long reign. I think it was over 20 years at the end of the 19th century. And he was very in touch with the spirituality of the people. But also then he wrote this document, Rerum Novarum, which looked at the lives of people in the context of the economic world of the 18th century. There were things happening then which were impacting on ordinary lives of men, women and children. And I think, again, there was that sensitivity really to the human condition. There's a sense really that you might maybe a quieter kind of presence, but nevertheless, a vital presence in the world. I was just looking this morning, he has a motto, in the one Christ, we are one. At the heart of our faith then is the person of Jesus Christ who became one like us in every way except our sin. You know, Jesus says that he and the Father are one. And I think one of the things, particularly with Pope Leo, is to ensure that unity that we have is not necessarily with him, but with Christ.
Bishop Tom Nalan, thank you for joining us this morning on the phone from Liverpool, and I look forward to meeting and talking with the new Archbishop, Archbishop-elect John Sherrington, later this month. And now, let's finish with a look at our notice board. Tonight, the Mariners' Choir will be in the parish church in Balaf for a service starting at 6:30, followed by supper and community hymn singing. And also tonight at 6:30, there's another bilingual Manx and English service in Balabeg Methodist Chapel, themed around Manx knots and crosses and the making of the traditional crosh kern. Reverend Dr. Janet Corlett will lead the service, which will include soloists and will be followed by refreshments, with a warm welcome for everyone. The Manx Children's Choir and Scoil Pertla Mura will be in concert this week in St. Catherine's Church in Port Erin. That's on Thursday the 15th, starting at 7 o'clock. Note the earlier starting time because it's a school night for the young entertainers. As usual at St. Catherine's, admission is free, there'll be refreshments after the concert and an opportunity to give to a retiring collection if you wish. Later this week, there's not one, but two film nights in Ballykilferrick Chapel near Colby. The first is on Friday the 16th. It starts at 7:30. It's a community film night with interval refreshments and a voluntary retiring collection. And then the following day, that's Saturday the 17th, there'll be a children's film matinee again at Ballykilferrick Chapel, and this starts next Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Admission is free, there'll be interval refreshments and an opportunity to make a donation at the end if you wish. The Abbey Church in Ballasalla have their spring fair next Saturday the 17th. It's open from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. Lots of garden and house plants for sale, cake stall, fair trade stall, and lots of other stalls and attractions, including breakfast baps, drinks and sandwiches, plus the famous raffle. There's a lunchtime organ recital next Saturday the 17th in the parish church in Andreas. It starts at noon and will be given by John Rowley of the Organists Association. It's free, with a warm welcome for all. Also on Saturday the 17th, the Blue Train Saxophone Quartet will be in concert in St. Paul's Church in Ramsey. It starts at 7:30, admission is free, there'll be interval refreshments and a retiring collection in support of St. Paul's Church Fabric Fund. And we're finishing off with a couple of advance notices. Next Sunday morning, there's a special service to celebrate the reopening of the Methodist Church at the Crossroads in Selby, which has been closed since last October for reordering and renovation. It's at 10:30 and everyone is welcome to share in this time of thanksgiving and to pray for the future of this church that's been reshaped to become a great new resource to serve the local community. And the parish of St. George and All Saints here in Douglas are resuming their very popular monthly community lunches, with the next one being on Monday the 19th of May. The theme will be VE Day 80 to commemorate the 80th anniversary of VE Day. Lunch will be served as usual in the parish hall of St. George and All Saints on Alexander Drive here in Douglas on the 19th, that's a week on Monday, between noon and 1:30. The menu is Woolton pie with ham, followed by chilled white chocolate rice pudding with shortbread, and of course, a cup of tea or coffee. A vegetarian option will be available. There's no charge, but donations to help with the costs are welcome. And that's all that we've time for now, but I'll be back tonight at 9 o'clock with a chance for you to hear the concert and drumhead service organised by the Royal British Legion to commemorate the 80th anniversary of VE Day, which we recorded in the Villa Marina last Thursday evening. After that, I'll be opening the virtual lounge door for some late-night music and your requests and dedications. And I'd love you to join me if you can. And so, until whenever we meet again, this is Judith saying thank you for listening, and I wish you and those you love a blessed and peaceful week and a very good morning.
The Nation Station, Manx Radio.